This is a HeadGum Podcast.
In 86, Anne M. Martin wrote the first book of what became a cult. Now it's time for Babysitter's Club.
Here we are.
Here we are, Jack. It's yes. The Babysitter's Club.
Club.
Starring me, Tanner Greenring, and you, Jack Shepherd. Mm-hmm. Each week we discuss a video novel in
yes.
the great Netflix Sitter Cycle,
mm-hmm.
written by Rachel Schuchert.
The Hand of God.
And directed by Lucia
Agnello.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who we will be talking to later in the episode.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I'm very excited to talk with her.
Don't act surprised.
I'm super excited to talk with her. I'll start thinking of questions to ask her as we kind of go through the episode here.
I'll remind you that we recorded with her last night, so you already did speak with her, and it's fake. What you're doing is fake. It feels like fake surprise didn't seem real, genuine at all.
Is that a note about my acting?
We're going to have plenty of notes about your acting in our interview with Lucia Agnello, the director, executive producer, and writer of The Babysitter's Club. But that is not why we are here in this moment. Why we are here in this moment is to say hi, and welcome to The Babysitter's Club. Club. I've said who we are. Tanner has very, very artfully said who we are. It's Jack Shepherd. It's Tanner Greenring. What we are discussing this week is a video novel called Babysitter's Club Netflix Show, episode number 4, Marianne Saves the Day.
Marianne saves the day.
She saves it, doesn't she?
She certainly did save the day. She helped a young girl
not die. And they don't say why.
Well, they don't say why. And it's not even clear why, if she would have died.
Right. We can't compare to the books, but in the books, she would have died.
So in the... Oh, God, Jack. Now, we can't
compare to the books, because this is...
We cannot compare to the books, but imagine my surprise when at the two-minute mark, Mrs. Prezioso answers the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And says, "Hi, yes, this is Mrs. Del Vecchio." And it's like, sorry, did you say Del Vecchio? Did you mean Mrs. Prezioso?
Why is Mrs. Prezioso, and they don't go into this in the video novel, pretending to be someone called Mrs. Del Vecchio? That's suspicious, right?
It is suspicious. All I can imagine is that, like,
Del Vecchio means of the old. Of ancient one.
Oh, wow. What does prezioso mean?
Precious.
Hmm.
They're both Italian.
It's a very tricky thing.
Yeah.
But yes, the Jenny Prezioso is no more. Instead, we have Bailey Del Vecchio.
Bailey Del Vecchio, yeah.
Del Vecchio, yes. Mm-hmm. Who's a young trans girl.
Mm-hmm.
And Marianne's titular saving of the day appears to be standing up to some insensitive doctors who keep referring to Bailey Del Vecchio as a boy.
Right.
But Bailey's Del Vecchio's actual ailment is not ever made clear.
Nondisclosed, but it's 104 degree temperature, which is high.
Okay. Mm. Sounds like you were firing up the old WebMD now and putting in some...
Okay. WebMD... Let's see. 104 degree temperature. Check your symptoms. Female. How old do you think? Eight. Okay. So I'm going to say the main symptom is fever, 103 to 104.
Yes, she says, Marianne says 104 on the episode.
Okay. Anything else that we know?
She looked sort of pallid.
Okay. Pallor. Extremity pallor?
Kind of in the face, I would say.
Pale.
And then when the insensitive doctors come in, they try to give Bailey Del Vecchio a blue set of hospital gown.
Okay.
And she says, I don't want the blue one. So maybe a strong aversion to the color blue.
Okay. Aversion to color.
Or I guess like all color is technically a form of light. So maybe light sensitivity.
Light hurts eyes.
Yes.
Okay, should we go? Do you think that's enough?
I think so.
Okay. Fever's bothering her the most. Let's see here. West Nile virus.
Jesus, that's serious.
Yeah. Okay.
That's so actually Marianne, super serious. So Marianne really did save the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
She got Bailey Delvecchio to the hospital just in time.
Yeah.
I also kind of think West Nile's maybe like chronic. Like, I don't think there's a cure for that.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, that's going to be an ongoing plot. Okay. Well, that's thanks to WebMD for saving our day here.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. M. Webb. Dr. Webb.
Dr. Webb, MD. What I think we should do for the baby nation here is to describe it.
The video novel?
The plot of the video novel, and it's you.
It's me?
Yeah.
Don't, I feel like I just did
I'm
it.
I'm so surprised. Yeah, you just did it two episodes ago. We've done four.
Golly. Okay.
I'm pleased about it. I didn't have to do shit this week except watch a delightful, short, little nugget.
It's a little snack.
A little snack of a lovely TV show that I like.
Yeah, me too. I watched it this morning, and I took lots of notes, and I'm going to use those notes now to inform my book, video book recap.
That always goes badly, historically.
Yeah, it's mostly just outrage that they got rid of. You should see how many times I have the name Delvecchio and Prezioso in all caps notes.
There's Prezioso erasure, and there's also boys basketball erasure, isn't there?
Oh, I don't...
Okay, we'll talk about it later. Let's just describe... I don't want you to get too angry.
Angry. That's the wrong energy to bring to a 60-second recap.
Yeah, no, what we want... In terms of energy, if I can give you a note, is competence. Think of
next
a,
note. That like one's a, not going to fly. Next one.
A news anchor of yesterday.
I need different direction. That one's not going to fly for me.
Who's the guy who says good night and good luck?
Oh,
that guy.
George
or like
Clooney.
Walter Cronkite.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm not capable of that. I don't have that inside me.
Okay.
So can you offer me some other direction?
Okay, who else describes
God, I wish Lucia was here. She'd be able to, and we should remember this for later.
Yeah.
Lucia can help kind of give me some
great. That's thoughts. Something that we'll remember when we interview her later is we'll ask her for notes on our acting. That's a great. Yeah. That's a really good thought,
smart.
And we'll definitely do that. Okay, what about Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner?
Sorry, did you say Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner?
Yeah, Coleridge. You know, like he is the Ancient Mariner. He stopped with one in three. And then he tells them the story about like the albatross and
around
and
the
everything.
Neck. Yeah, got it.
So that kind of not that. Don't tell that story, but you can.
I
bring
just need
that
to picture
energy.
Something dragging me down.
Yeah,
someone who I'm close with dragging me down.
But it's like
down.
You've got something you want to get off your chest. You know, you really need to
an
get
albatross.
This out. Well, not
big ugly
literally.
Bird.
It's a metaphor.
Okay.
Is that enough?
Now I'm just thinking about this bird strapped around my neck. Is it dead?
The bird is a metaphor. It's a dead bird, but the dead bird is a metaphor. Does that work for you? Does that make sense to you? It's a metaphor for your shame.
Not in any way, but I'll do my best.
Okay. I can try to give you a different character.
All I have to do is recap the episode in 60 seconds, right?
Yes.
I actually don't think I need a lot
of
character
direction.
Work
okay.
or like a deep understanding of my motivation to
okay.
to do
it's
that.
Just a guy who's describing something. But what I want is some kind of competence, some kind of like a...
And I'm not in the youth. That's too much to ask for. And again, that's too much to ask for. Should I start?
Okay. What about here? Last note, a guy who's trying to accurately describe a video novel that they've enjoyed in 60 seconds.
I'll do my best.
Okay, and I'm going to start now. The Big Bad Clock is starting now.
Okay, so Marianne goes to a babysitter's club meeting, and while she's there, Mrs. Delvecchio calls and says, "Hello, Marianne," and she says yes, and she says, "Can you come take care of Bailey?" And then she says, "Sure, but I'm in a club," and she says, "I don't care about your club, I just want you." And she accepts the job, and it pisses off all the other girls in the club, and they chastise her and drive her out of the meeting crying in tears. She goes to meet Mrs. Delvecchio and Bailey. It turns out Bailey is a young trans girl, and Marianne helps her kind of come to terms with that. Although she's fairly confident in her decision already. She's already got like a whole dresser full of cool princess outfits. Meanwhile, Mr. Spear gets involved and yells at everyone's parents and says that they're bullying Marianne. And then Bailey Delvecchio gets sick, and Marianne stands up to her doctors and says,
and
you need to treat her like a girl because that's what she is.
And then we meet Dawn.
And Dawn is in this episode
and
now.
You've done an awful job. Aunt Esme is actually Morbid at Destiny, and Morbid at Destiny says
to Dawn and Marianne that
yikes,
Richard and Sharon used to date.
Just really bad.
I know I'm so surprised that went as badly as it did because I was like, this is a little snack of an episode, and it's going to be so easy to get through the plot.
Yeah.
But it's not, because it was a plot-dense book this week. We got a new character. We got a new babysitter.
There are three things going on. The introduction of Dawn, the crisis at the Delvecchio home, and the what I like to call babysitter's Civil War narrative that is the bones of the episode.
Let's start at the end.
They're all having a big fight with each other.
Let's start at the end.
Well, specifically with Marianne. It's a lot of, it's everyone versus Marianne. Yeah,
Mrs. Delvecchio calls.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And says,
yeah,
at 2:45, all the girls get pissed at Marianne because she has accepted Mrs. Delvecchio's invitation to come take care of Bailey.
Uh-huh.
And the babysitter, she gets off the phone, and the rest of the babysitters are like, yo, Marianne, that sucked.
Yeah.
Why did you accept a job without talking to all of us? But here's the thing. When Mrs. Delvecchio called,
Ne prezioso,
she said to Marianne, we want to hire you as a babysitter. And Marianne did her fucking due diligence.
Yeah.
She responded and said, oh, I'm actually part of a babysitting collective.
And she was like, I just want you.
And then it's like, at that point.
Yeah.
Like, what is she going to do? Turn her down and be like, sorry, that's not the way we operate. No, you're not going to turn away good money. She did her due diligence. Why is everyone so pissed at her?
If I may take the other side.
Okay.
May I?
Mm. Please.
The real problem is not the transgression of the rule quite so much as it is the timidity that Marianne exhibits and then further exhibits when the girls fairly gently take her to task on it.
They scream at her and drive her out of the meeting in tears.
They give her some constructive notes. You're too timid. You're always crying. You never stand up for yourself.
Wow. I never thought I'd live to see the day where Jack defends Stacy McGill against Marianne Spear. But here we are.
But that's the problem.
Time makes fools of all of us.
And then she runs out. She's angry with everyone. She storms out.
Let's talk about the Great Disruptor.
Okay. Let's talk about the Great Disruptor.
The Instigator.
Okay. Let's talk about the Instigator.
The man, the anti-Watson. The man who has made it his mission to dismantle and disassemble the Babysitter's Club.
Oh. I think I know who you're talking about, and in that case, I'd love to introduce a new segment, which is called Watson, the guy from The Good Place.
Yes.
It's like Watson.
Watson Watson is the segment where we track Watson as portrayed by Mark Feuerstein. It turns out after episode one, he's in the show a lot less.
Oh, really?
I mean, we're on episode four now.
Yeah, so far that does seem to be true. Okay, but this one's called Watts, and so this one's got legs because they're gonna give a lot of speaking parts to the guy from The Good Place.
Watching the guy from Brooklyn Nine-Nine and The Good Place, aka Richard Spear.
Yes,
the great instigator,
the
great disruptor.
Yes,
he. When Marianne picks up the phone from. The call from Mrs. Delvecchio.
Yeah.
She says, I work with your dad, and he says you're an excellent babysitter.
Right.
He didn't say,
"Oh, I got it.
My daughter's part of a babysitting club." He specifically says, "No, no, no. Call and ask only for my daughter."
Yeah, and like you got to call her. Like, there's this weird thing where you have to call her at someone else's house.
Yeah.
On like fucking Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 5:30 to 6, and he doesn't say it's a club. So it's like actually it is the anti Watson, right? Because Watson in the first episode, his whole thing is like building up the babysitters club and being like, oh, there's this great club. Everybody, you should call the club. And what's
his name?
What about
Fear the Spear?
Fear the Spear is good. Fear the Spear is very good. I like that a lot.
Because if he's going to continue to kind of be like a anti-babysitters club villain throughout the series.
Yeah.
That seems like something we should be tracking.
Okay, that's good. I like this a lot. So Fear the Spear this week, because he's the anti-Watson. And he is sabotaging the babysitters club. And then he sabotages them further by... Like, this is the real thing that fucks everything up. And I've forgotten about this. Is Marianne...
He's nefarious. He has a campaign against these girls.
Marianne's like, oh, I'm like pissed because they were shitty to me at the meeting. And then he calls all of their parents and gets them grounded.
Marianne laboriously, like, she does not want to do it because she's a very closed off and reserved person, and she doesn't go to her dad for this kind of thing. But she gets the courage up to finally approach her dad and be like, Dad, I'm struggling. The girls were mean to me because I have no backbone and I dress like a baby.
Yeah.
And his response was to say, the girls were mean to you. I'm going to get them all grounded.
I'm going to get them all grounded.
Which is what
one.
He did. Because he's the great disruptor. He's taking the Babysitter's Club fucking off the market.
What a nightmare. What a fucking nightmare this guy is. God. Which, you know what? I'll tell you something. Now that we're interviewing all these fucking bigwigs and hotshots, Rachel Shuker, The Hand of God, later, Lucia Agnello, the director, executive producer. We've got their ear. We can tell them to fucking kick this guy off the show.
Smart. And one of us should, like, you know, when we have Lucia on later?
Yeah, let's tell her.
One of us should audition for the role of Richard Spear. Just
That's
kind of preemptively,
idea.
Right?
That's a good idea. And that'll just kind of put the bug in their ear. That's like, hey, this guy's just disrupting the babysitters club. He's turning them against each other.
Yeah.
And then he's not like building up the club. He's like trying to put his daughter first, which is like the total antithesis of what the babysitters club is all about.
Yeah, that's not the point.
It's Fear one for spear. All and all for one. Yeah. Okay, Fear the Spear. That's interesting. Let's discuss Dawn, because Dawn is introduced.
Yes. Dawn is introduced. Yes. Dawn is introduced. Marianne is fighting with all the girls. She eats lunch alone in the cafeteria. Yeah. Well, so here's the thing that happens, actually, in that scene. And before we get to introducing Dawn, I want to introduce a segment.
Okay.
Because it's relevant to the scene.
I love it.
Marianne is in the lunchroom. She goes up to a table where Stacy and Claudia are sitting, and they confront her and say, please don't sit with us. You got us in a lot of trouble. Your dad told on us, and now we're grounded.
Right.
And we are not interested in sitting with you or dining with you today.
Yes.
And the segment is called... Claudia's Closet. Because in that scene...
Yeah.
At the lunch table, Claudia is wearing a very particular outfit, Jack. And did you notice the outfit?
Did I notice the outfit that Claudia was wearing at the lunch table? No.
Okay. She was wearing sort of a very smart women's jumpsuit.
Ooh.
Kind of like a blazer designed for women.
Cool.
Almost. And it was yellow.
Okay.
And plaid.
Whoa.
And does that sound familiar to you in any way?
Well, when you said yellow jumpsuit, I was thinking Kill Bill.
No, it's not really a jumpsuit. It's kind of like a skirt. It's like a skirt suit.
A skirt suit. Okay, that's cool.
Does that make sense to you?
No, but the possibility.
Here, let me send you a picture of what I'm talking about, just so you can kind of get in your mind like what
skirt suit.
What this
suit.
Just so you have like a visual to put to what I'm saying.
Okay, I like to think about. I'm still thinking about it. What a skirt suit would.
I've sent you an image, and it's essentially exactly what Claudia was wearing in the scene.
Okay, and Tanner sent me an image of Cher.
The sentence I'm about to say is going to be very confusing.
And it's not Cher, Do You Believe in Love After Love? And it's certainly not Cher, the one that on the battle, when she's on the battleship.
The sentence I'm about to say is going to be very confusing, but Claudia is wearing the same outfit that Batgirl wore.
Yes.
And I don't mean the Batgirl outfit.
Right. The plaid.
From Joel Schumacher's Batman and Robin. What I mean is.
What did you say it is? A girl suit?
It's like a yellow plaid skirt suit. Yeah.
Okay. Let me help you out here, because what you said makes no sense.
And she's wearing the same outfit Batgirl wore, but not the Batgirl outfit. What I mean is the yellow skirt suit.
See, you said it again. Here's what I want to try to explain it to our listeners. Okay. Cher is Batgirl, and Batgirl is Cher.
Yeah.
And while Batgirl sometimes wears a bat costume,
yes,
sometimes she wears a girl suit or a skirt suit.
Yes.
When she's Cher, she wears a skirt suit.
Yes.
What's interesting is that what Claudia's wearing in this episode of the show is the same exact skirt suit that Cher wore when she was Batgirl.
Yes.
The Batgirl wore.
When she was Cher girl. Yes.
Yes.
And I can only assume that at some point later in the season,
yeah,
Claudia will pay homage to Batgirl's other roles.
Yes.
And maybe wear like a bat suit.
I love that.
Don't you think?
I love that. Yes.
So anyway, in this scene, Claudia was wearing the iconic outfit from Clueless.
Clueless. Yes, Clueless.
Starring Batgirl.
I'm realizing that would have been a pretty good thing to say early on in describing
what, that Elizabeth Watson?
That Batgirl is also in Clueless.
Batgirl, I would say Batgirl's distant second most iconic role.
Is Cher.
Is Cher from Clueless.
Yeah. Do You Believe in Life?
And again, I think most people see her and most people think, oh, it's Batgirl.
Yeah. Oh, that's Batgirl.
Like you and I did.
Right.
But yes. Some people might think, oh, it's Cher from Clueless.
Well, and then there's a third category of people who think, oh, that's Batgirl from Clueless.
Yeah.
And we want to be able to cover, we have a lot of listeners in a lot of different demographics, and so we want to be able to cover all three of those possibilities.
That third cross-section is fairly new.
The ones who say it's Batgirl from Clueless?
Yeah. That's not something a lot of people. If you look at the Google trends for that, it's not going to be what a lot of people.
But it's starting. It's starting now. It's starting to percolate. Starting to happen
a little bit. Yeah,
it's starting to percolate. Well, this was very interesting, and I really love talking about this. And wow, what a good catch! She's wearing the exact same outfit, people. She's wearing the same outfit as Batgirl from Clueless, and Batgirl's in this show too.
Yes.
What is that all about? Let's keep an eye on it. Here's what she says to Dawn. What Marianne says to Dawn. It's interesting.
Dawn approaches Marianne in the cafeteria and says,
this is her, like, open.
May I eat with you? And Marianne says, yes.
Here's her pickup line for Dawn. This is at 7:27.
Want to hear a joke? How do you catch a unique rabbit? Unique up on it.
So here's all I know. I don't know much. But neek in French.
Yeah.
It's a vile curse word.
Okay, what does it mean? Direct translation?
Here's what I can tell you. The most famous French rap group, apart from maybe MC Solar, and the kid who says, c'est dur, dur d'être bébé, but that's just like one song.
Yeah.
Is NTM, Nique ta mère. And okay, I can't say what that means.
The mère is horse, right?
No, mère is mother. Ta mère means mother. Nique ta mère.
Say hello.
No, it's hello to your mother. They're like a pretty like tough rap group.
Okay, well they're French, so they can't be that tough.
But. They're good. I was listening to some Nique ta mère stuff today because I was thinking about that.
There's no direct translation.
Pretty good. We'll play a clip.
C'est comme ça que tu veux qu'ils grandissent. J'ai pas de conseils à donner, mais si tu veux pas qu'ils glissent, regarde-le. Quand il te parle, écoute-le. Ne laisse pas chercher ailleurs l'amour qu'il devrait y avoir dans tes yeux. Laisse pas traîner ton fils. Laisse pas traîner ton fils. Si tu veux pas qu'ils glissent.
Or you're just not willing to say that.
It's a very dirty word.
N-I-Q-U-E.
So how do you catch a unique rabbit, unique up on it?
Unique to mare.
It's derived from a North African Tame. Word that means to make love.
Oh, that sounds actually lovely.
But it's not in French. It's just not.
Well, French is a romance language, so.
Okay, yeah, that's true. But so that's a joke. I don't know if that's the joke, but that seems to be what the joke is that she's told Dawn as her, like, opening line. This, like, kind of, like,
I have
filthy.
Bad news for you, man. I'm on wordhippo.com.
Yeah.
Tanner, cool. I'm on wordhippo.com, and I don't know what wordhippo.com is. I don't know if they're accredited in any way. But what does nique mean in French?
Mm-hmm.
And it says the English translation for nique is picnic. So
okay.
It means picnic
Have
with
a nice
your mother.
Picnic. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Why a rabbit?
Why a rabbit?
Because that joke works with anything.
It doesn't make any sense.
I'm just saying there's a precedent for this in the books, and if Walden Gredia did any kind of research,
yeah,
they would know that the thing that is in these books is elephant jokes.
Elephant joke.
And it works just as well to say, how do you
It's
catch
better than
a unique
dirty
elephant
rabbit joke. Yeah.
Unique up on it.
Yeah, you could do that with an elephant.
And honestly, I feel a lot less bad
yeah.
about fucking an elephant than I would a rabbit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's I don't
it's not going to hurt the elephant in any yeah, way, you
it's
know?
It's not a topic area that I want to discuss any longer than we already
no,
have.
No, yeah, me neither.
But I take your point. And I think Walden Gredia would do well to listen next time. Here's the other thing Marianne does very early on, like right at the beginning of the episode. She looks in the mirror and it's like it's this like montage that's about how like Fear the
She's
Spear.
She's a dork.
Fear the Spear makes her dress like a dork.
Yeah.
She looks in the mirror. I swear to God, she looks in the mirror. She's looking at her pigtails and her like dungarees, her Oshkosh. And then she says, make it fashion. And then as she walks away under her breath, she says, fuck.
It's a character choice.
I like it. I liked it. It's a edgier Marianne.
Make it fashion. Yep. Every day I leave the house looking like either the world's oldest toddler or maybe its youngest senior citizen.
I would say, honestly, thinking back on my life,
mm-hmm.
I was saying the word fuck more often than I ever have at any other point in my life when I was 13.
Yeah.
I had just discovered it, I think, or I knew about it, but now I realized that I could say it sort of unabashedly.
Yeah.
And I was probably saying fuck a lot around my friends. Certainly not around my parents.
Yeah.
So, I believe it. A girl, a 13-year-old girl in the privacy of her own bedroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's going to say, fuck. Neek.
Have I told you on this podcast about the kid who, when I was in fifth grade and he was in like third grade, who said to someone who was standing next to me, you have fuck for brains and shit for teeth?
It sounds familiar.
I think about that a lot.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's such a powerful thing to say to somebody.
Thinking about saying the word fuck in my private life reminded me of a time that I had a really bad day at school, and I was probably in like sixth grade, so I was probably 12.
Yeah.
And my parents came home and they're like, how was your day? And I was like, can I do a curse? And they were like, no. And I was like,
really took the edge off of it.
Well, it sucked. And the curse in that situation was sucked. So I would have never had the confidence to approach a fuck in those days.
Yeah.
Now my parents don't give a shit. I mean, I am nearly 40.
my child is going to have a very different upbringing from you. Literally, just 10 minutes before we sat down to record, the interaction I had with my child was I went into his room as his mama was reading him a story and said, "Hey, do you want to give me a hug before bedtime?" And he said, "No." I said, "Well, this sucked."
That's a lot. That's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I thought you were going to say, "Fuck you."
Not quite. I internalize that stuff. Maybe we should take a little quick break and then get back to talking about this video text.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that idea.
Great. Goodbye.
Bye.
And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey everybody, it's Evil Jack here, and I have some bad news to share, which is that the evil BetterHelp competitor that Evil Tanner and I started, WetterHelp, which offers all the same services as BetterHelp, except 100% soggier, is going under, both literally and figuratively. Unfortunately, a lot of the therapists we tried to work with, despite being licensed counselors who you would expect to be some of the most understanding people in the world, were actually extremely rude and unforgiving about how damp their contracts were when it came time to sign, and a lot of our clients expressed a surprising amount of dissatisfaction with their sessions, despite the fact that we went above and beyond to ensure that each interaction was as quaggy, mushy, squelchy, moist, and waterlogged as we could manage within the constraints of a small business. Also, our offices are sinking. All of this is, of course, causing me and Evil Tanner a good deal of stress, anxiety, grief, LGBT matters, and self-esteem, which means that we are going to have to make use of some of the many licensed therapists at BetterHelp, despite the fact that they don't have a 100% moistness guarantee, and their counselors insist on conducting some of the most bone-dry therapy sessions you could imagine. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. At the moment, we are sadly unable to offer you the squelchy, sopping alternative that WetterHelp was really starting to be known for, so I guess you're just going to have to do it the old-fashioned way and call your therapist from the shower, or ideally, some kind of bog. If you've got some things you really want to get off your chest, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime, well, I guess you're just going to have to stand next to a puddle and wait for a bus to drive by, because apparently there's no room in this country for entrepreneurs anymore. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bedfellows.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I wanted to discuss one more thing with you, Tanner, that I found in this episode.
Fine, I would love that.
Fine? Okay, good. I'm glad.
Regale me with your tale, bard.
This happens at the 6-minute mark of the episode.
Okay.
They're in the cafeteria. I think it's maybe around the time that Marianne is meeting Dawn. They do a quick pan of the cafeteria so you can see everything in the SMS dining room.
Yes.
Refectory, as we used to call it in my school.
Okay. And I thought the refectory is where you go to pray.
No, it's where you go to eat.
Okay.
And there is a poster of a pair.
Of?
A pair. Just a pair. One pair. A single pair.
Okay.
The fruit.
Yes. Got it.
And do you know what that pair is saying? It's a line from one of our favorite movies.
Okay. It's from Valley of the Dolls?
No.
Oh. It's from Drive Angry 3D?
With Nicolas Cage, where he drives out of hell?
Yeah.
He comes back. Guys, you got to watch this. He drives his car out of hell for some reason. Where
he
lives.
Here's preferred viewing.
He just fucking kicked so much ass.
Here's recommended viewing for you and preferred viewing. See it in theaters.
Yeah.
Sneak in a bottle of whiskey and pour it into a large Coke and split it with your best friend and get shit-faced.
And also...
Oh, and also sneak out of work at like maybe 3 p.m.
Watch it on Tuesday at like 3 p.m.
And in one of those theaters, I think, where it's like rumble seats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, we used to have fun at our job, didn't we? No, it's not that movie. I wish it were.
Somehow we both got fired?
Yeah, what the hell? We're model employees.
We one time convinced, I would say, like, maybe a third of the staff to leave early on a Friday to go watch San Andreas. We used to sneak out for movies. Not a lot, but like...
Sometimes you have to.
Yeah.
Happier times. Here's what the pair says, Tanner. It says, drink more water.
Okay. Yes. The bug man.
From Men in Black.
More water. He's the guy. What's his name?
Edgar.
No.
And you know because she says Edgar.
Not Edgar. Edgar. What's the actor's name?
Your skin is hanging all off your face. It's Edgar. Vincent D'Onofrio. The pair, the Rachel, the hand of God, is saying something to us, isn't she? Because she knows we love that. More water. They put it in the cafeteria. Why else would they? Answer me.
Who, what? Who and what?
The hand of God. She put the more water line from Men in Black on the face of this
she
pair.
Wanted, she wanted our attention.
She wanted our attention, and she's gotten it.
Yeah. Well, you want to be on the show again, Rachel?
Yeah.
Too bad. We're having Lucia on.
Yeah, we're having Lucia on tonight. What do you want to talk about? Say something to me.
I'll tell you what I want to talk about.
Okay. What's happening? He looks like his face like crumpled up. Crumpled up. Okay. And he's rubbing his eyes. Are you
Jack?
Okay? Yeah.
Did you cry?
Did I cry? Yes, I did. It was my tearful moment. I had a tearful moment. I would like to read it to you, though there's a question here now in my mind, because normally when I read something to you in the text, I just pull the audio from the video novel.
Yes.
But...
And you're going to do that again today?
I don't know.
May as well read. It's going to be difficult. Here's something to put in the pro column of reading it.
Yeah.
I will be unable to react...
Yeah.
In real time, if you just play the clip, put the clip in post.
I'm going to read it. I'm not going
to. So it's going to be very difficult for me to understand and react to whatever you're about
to say. I'm just going
to
act.
Unless you read it.
I'm going to act. I'm going to act.
You're going to act as well as whoever the.
Yes. Yes. Because it's Fear the Spear and it's Marianne.
Okay.
And this is me. And guess what? Now you get to hear my line reading, people. You've watched
and
the
show. You're playing the part of Marianne.
Now listen to the man. Yeah, I'm going to do Marianne and Richard.
Watch your back, Malia.
Yeah. They're in the car after Marianne does save the day at the hospital. Marianne says. Dad, I'm sorry. I know I should have waited for you to call back before I took Bailey to the hospital. I didn't want to make you worried. I just wanted to make sure that Bailey was okay. And now this is Richard. I'm being Richard now.
Okay, do you want me to do it, or...?
You can if you want. Do you want to be Richard?
Yes.
Okay.
Marianne, I'm not angry with you. I'm afraid of you. I can't remember what the line is.
No, that's good. Just go with it. Go with it.
I do not know how to how to do anything else with your hair. I miss your mother. That's all I really remember.
Yeah, that's good. No, that's good. And it's just a really emotional moment. It was an emotional moment for me. Like,
probably could have been better if we got the actual line read in there. Or
no, I think that was it. You actually did get most of it because I'm looking because I wrote
maybe
it
you
out.
Can maybe you can sort of transpose my audio over Fear the Spear's actual audio from the show just so we can see like how I got it kind of note for note and even like beat for beat.
Okay, yeah, I think it's going to be basically the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the part that I cried the most was when he was like, I don't know how to do anything else with your hair.
Yeah.
And what else did he say? I'm afraid of you.
I'm afraid of you.
It's just really emotional. And they, like, these shows are funny.
Yes.
But they're also moving.
Yes.
And that's the stuff. They do everything. They do the funny stuff. They also do the stuff that's like, oh, Marianne, I'm afraid of you. And then it's the fucking waterworks.
Yeah.
Marianne, I'm afraid of your hair.
I'm afraid of your hair.
That's the part that made me cry.
Your mother only showed me how to do one thing. And then she died, Marianne.
Yeah, and then she died.
It's literally the last thing she said on her deathbed was, here's how to braid Marianne's hair.
Yeah.
Do Dad, it every day for the rest of her fucking life.
I'm sorry. I didn't want to make you worried. I just wanted to make sure that Bailey was okay. Marianne, I'm not upset with you. I'm afraid of your hair.
So moving.
It's beautiful. It's
did
beautiful.
I cry, Jack? Yes, I did.
Yeah. You didn't, you didn't cry at the afraid of your hair stuff?
I did.
At
I
that part.
At that part. I captured that as well. But Dawn Schaefer is in the show now. She's woke as hell. She's
hell
from California. She's got California sensibilities.
Yeah.
And she is trying to help Marianne. Marianne is very open-minded and very understanding about Bailey's being a young girl instead of mm-hmm. a young boy. But Dawn helps clarify the situation even more
mm-hmm.
in a very touching scene in which she is explaining, like, trans people to Marianne.
Yeah, with a metaphor, right?
With a metaphor, which I wish I would have captured, and I guess we're hearing it now.
Yeah.
It's like this. Are you right-handed or left-handed?
Right.
And you've known this since you were little?
Pretty much.
And if someone tried to make you do everything with your left hand, it would be super weird, right?
If I tried to use scissors, I'd definitely stab myself.
Well, that's how Bailey feels. The same way that you know that you're right-handed, Bailey knows she's a girl. And we all want our outsides to match our insides, right?
Yeah.
And it's rad to have parents and a babysitter who get it. She's really lucky.
I can't quite remember what the metaphor was now, but Dawn is very progressive. She's very woke, and her explanation of trans people to Marianne
is beautiful.
Made me cry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's lovely. We should talk about Morbid of Destiny.
Okay.
They've done
Aunt
something,
Esme.
Haven't they?
Aunt Esme.
So here's what they did. So there's been a lot of speculation in the Baby Nation and amongst the Baby Nation.
Uh-huh. Good.
And
good sentence.
Within the group that is called the
Baby
Nation.
Nation. Great sentence. You really brought it home.
Between the individual members of the Baby Nation.
Yes.
That because Sharon Spears' maiden name is Porter and Morbid of Destiny's name,
non-witch name, her
non-witch
civilian
name,
name,
is Porter, that there is some relationship there. And so that's R.I.P.
Yes.
Right, but and by us, I mean the inclusive us of the entire nation of babies that comprises the baby
the
nation.
The royal us.
Yeah, that yep. the baby nation comprises.
Yes.
But they went ahead in this fucking video book and just
they made
came
it
out
official.
And said it. But they didn't
made
even
it
spend
official.
That. I just belabored the Porter point for, what, 5 minutes? They didn't even say it. They didn't even say, well, we're obviously related because our name is Porter. They're just like, this is my aunt.
Dawn invites Marianne to a...
And she is a witch. To a like
some
a Wiccan,
kind of like moon ceremony.
Yeah. It's called, you know what it is, and I think we should do one. It's called a new moon ceremony.
The new moon ceremony, yeah. And Jack, actually, this kind of reminds me of a segment I want to make sure to hit.
Okay.
You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender. I could have
played this fucking role. Moon sister.
You could have been one of the
moon. I could have been one of these moon sisters.
Could you have been Barb?
They do snapping. They're like every time instead of applauding, they'll snap.
I love the moon sisters.
I could have done that.
Here's the role that you could have played, and it is my...
Oh, sorry. One second. Actually, okay. I have something to say, and it's my... Barb of the Week, and you would have played Barb.
Barb of the Week. And it's Barb.
And I beat you to it, and no, you would have played Barb.
Barb gets fucking owned. I just want to say thanks to my... So Don says, they're like taking in turns like holding a speaking stick. And Don says...
Over the like decorative stump.
Yeah, it's fucking great. I really like this. Don says,
I just want to say thanks to my Aunt Esme and to all of you for welcoming us. Moving across the country is about as big a change as you can make.
And then Barb says...
I feel you there. Last week, my ex-husband was trying to...
And then Morbid Audacity cuts in and says...
Tell me... Not about you right now, Bob.
That's you. That's got you. That role has you written all over it.
I could have played Barb, and that would have been me. That, like, 100% would have been me. It's like, oh, this does remind me of a thing, and I must say it right now. Even though, like, a young girl is, like, bearing her soul. That stuff was good. The Wiccan stuff was good. Making Morbid Audacity actually a witch. I mean, we all know she's a fucking witch, but just like coming out with it.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
They have fun with that. Yeah. There's like a whole back and forth between like Mary. Like, so they walk up to the stump ceremony with Sharon and Dawn, and Marianne's like, oh my God, Aunt Esme is Morbid Audacity. And Sharon's like, yeah, she wishes her name was Morbid Audacity.
Yeah.
Like, she's a witch. And at Dawn's like, she's not a witch. She's just, like, spiritual. And Sharon mouths to Marianne, like, she's a witch.
Yeah.
She's a witch. And it's like, great, she's a fucking witch.
Let's see. I don't have many more things that I want to talk about. I do want to briefly hit what it's something the teens are saying. You may not be familiar with it because you are so far from having been a teen. But what the teens are saying these days is hashtag swoon when they're like, swoon about someone. They say hashtag swoon because it's like what you would say on social media. At 1746 in this video novel, Tanner,
yes,
we see someone who is pretending to be a man named Mr. Del Vecchio.
Yes.
Who is actually a man, and we don't know why he's pretending, but we do know that he's actually a man. He's called Mr. Prezioso, and he can fucking get it.
You think he's nice looking?
Is that a thing? That's a thing to say, right? That's okay to say? Get it?
He can get this dick.
He's got this... Okay, that's not what I meant. I guess I did is what I meant. But
you didn't quite realize what you were saying.
I know it's a thing that the teens say about someone being handsome, but you kind of just like laying it all out there makes me want to walk a little bit back from it. But he's a very good-looking man, and he's got this 5 o'clock shadow, and he's got rugged features. And he doesn't say anything. But he just went to go take in a fucking matinee of My Fair Lady.
It's interesting that this is coming hot off the heels of the hit segment. I could have played that character, because it's almost as if like maybe you had that kind of scoped out in your notes.
Yeah, and I can fucking get it. Just like Mr. Prezioso, I should be in this. I should have been him. I can do 5 o'clock shadow. And he doesn't say anything.
He doesn't say a fucking word. So you wouldn't even get paid scale.
He just like barrels the camera.
You wouldn't even need to be paid scale. Honestly, if you're listening, Lucia and Rachel, I think it's probably best to cast us in non-speaking roles because Jack and I are non-professionals.
I want to have a speaking role.
You do want to have a speaking role.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, fine. Jack wants a speaking role, and I also want a speaking role. If Jack gets a speaking role, I want one too, and I want to have twice as many words.
Okay, but I want my words to be twice as meaningful in half the words.
Fuck, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So just
fine.
Take notes on that. Is there anything else you'd like to say about this? I have one more thing I do want to say, which is that at 1:39, God, I hope they don't kill Mimi in this one because I can't fucking handle it. But at 1:39, Marianne gets like, before she goes to the babysitters club meeting, she likes to get wasted on Mimi's special tea.
Oh, yeah. She's like tripping balls.
She's like, Claudia comes out and she's like, Marianne, everyone's waiting for you upstairs. Marianne's like, hang on a fucking second.
Yeah.
Mimi and I are like getting right.
They're like so faded that like at some point Mimi holds up like a skarn of yarn or whatever.
Oh yeah.
And she's like, look, Marianne, funky yarn. And they're both just like, they like lose it over this funky yarn. That's how like,
that's just nice.
Gone they are.
Look what I got us. Funky yarn.
Oh, how we rage.
It's fucking lovely.
On Mimi's wild tea. Yeah. Jack, one more thing to do.
Yeah.
Before we depart today.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Pantheon.
Oh.
Mortal Ghostwriters. Lyle Friedman.
What? Really? Fuck, I missed that. There's someone else wrote this.
The episode today was written by Lyle Friedman, a.k.a. The Snail.
The Snail. Fuck yes.
Every episode, I keep an eye out for something that feels incongruous or like out of place,
like, you know? Someone put like, their fucking stamp. That's like in video games when they would like a designer will put yeah. like will put something like, that's put like a glitch room. And then like yeah. sign their fucking name in it.
This episode had one of those moments where Marianne and Dawn did a thing at the end of the episode where they do a secret handshake.
Yeah.
And at the end of the secret handshake, they slap their hands together and go, Snail!
You look amazing. Snail!
Yeah.
And I captured it and said, what does snail mean? And then I realized a few minutes later when I saw the credits roll and that this episode was written by the new ghostwriter, Lyle Friedman, that it was her calling card. It's her signature. The Snail.
Lyle Friedman. L-Y-L-E. Oh, Lyle Friedman, M.D., Dr. Lyle.
She's a TV show writer and a doctor. You sure they're the same people?
Yeah, she's an ophthalmologist in Fort Worth.
Interesting. And she decided to do movies and stuff and TV shows.
Yeah, pretty cool. The Snail.
I don't think that's right.
No?
No. Yeah. Lyle Friedman, it seems like the thing she is most known for before the Babysitter's Club, before writing this episode of the Babysitter's Club, was she was the executive story editor and writer of the TV show Younger. She also played on College Humor Originals. She played Girl/Ellie/Hot Girl.
That's a nice credit. I would be really proud of that credit.
Oh, okay. I'll take it.
Tanner, we've said enough.
Yes.
And now our interview with Lucia Aniello.
Yes, welcome to the show, Lucia. My first question.
No,
is,
Tanner. No, just say nothing, and then we'll let it go, and then we're gonna come back and say goodbye.
Okay.
And now, Lucia Aniello. Now we can just talk, chit-chat, and shoot the shit. How's your day?
It's super busy.
Yeah, same. Well, not same. I wasn't able to work today.
Okay, why?
Jenkins woke us up at 5 in the morning with, like, a live mouse in our bed.
Mm-hmm.
And it just totally fucked my whole day. But here I am. Here she comes. You ready?
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Tanner. Hi, Jack.
How are you?
Welcome.
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing fine. Jack is having mice problems.
I'm having mice problems.
Mice? I thought you said mic problems. You're having mice problems?
No, mice.
Yeah.
You know, I will say I don't have indoor situation, but I have outdoor rat situation a little bit.
Okay.
And it's hard to sleep.
Here's why it's hard to sleep for me. That I guess you could say that I'm having cat problems because my cat has started bringing live mice into my bedroom at like 3 in the morning.
Okay, that cat's trying to tell you something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But tomorrow I'm going to have wildlife people problems because they're going to come and because I've engaged them to come and tell me what to do, and they're going to be like, "We're going to kill these mice," and I'm going to be like, "Is there any way we can do it without killing the mice?" And that's going to be an embarrassing conversation.
You're a peaceful, you're a pacifist.
I'm a pacifist. They're so cute.
Jack and I used to work in the same office together, and we had a cockroach problem, and Jack wouldn't let us kill any of the cockroaches.
That's sweet.
Dispose of them humanely.
Was that in New York?
Yeah.
You got it. It's got to be.
Yeah. I'm going to win this battle in New York. I know I am. Save the cockroaches. Lucia, you are the director of the Babysitter's Club Netflix show. Is that accurate?
I executive produced, and I also wrote on it.
Oh, cool.
Oh, wow. Oh, we need to, I don't think we've gotten to your episode yet, but when we do get to it, the one where you have a writing credit, we're going to have to induct you into the Ghostwriters Hall of Fame, and I hope you're ready for
that.
And do you have suggestions or preferred epithets or honorifics that you'd like to apply to your name when you are inducted?
Is that going to happen towards the end of the induction, towards the end of the recording?
It can happen at any time, really.
I think I want you guys to have ample time for you guys to make those judgments.
Okay, that's good. That was the right answer. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I don't want to precede myself.
It is something we're uniquely good at.
Yeah.
Great.
You're basically the Christie of this operation.
Very much so.
Do you have a director's chair?
Actually I do, but I don't have it out in the world. I have one that my boyfriend's mom gave us some like leather director's chairs with our production company logo on the back. So I do actually technically own some, but I don't like sit in it like on a daily basis.
Okay. That must be a disappointment.
The truth is that actually I'm not the biggest, I don't actually sit in director's chairs often because I'm like usually like running around with a little clamshell monitor. So I don't actually sit at monitors very often. So I'm actually not used to it. When I do sit in director's chairs, I feel like I'm being lazy.
Okay.
That's just a little bit about me.
That's good.
You and I are totally different. I mean, I'm not a director and I've never directed anything, but I think I would ride in one of those like palanquins that like people have to hold up.
Oh, yeah.
The like big poles, you know?
Yes.
I would direct from the top of one of those.
I think that would be something we'd have to negotiate in the next DGA negotiations because, because, actually, weirdly, this is nothing to do with Babysitter's Club, but, weirdly, the props department is responsible for the director's chairs. Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
Like, they don't have enough to do.
It should be the top of their list, actually.
So are you, is the Babysitter's Club something that you knew about before you ended up on this project? Is it something that's part of your childhood, or do you have to, do a crash course and figure it out?
Jack. Yeah. I was an obsessive. I was a super fan as a child. I would have my mom drive me to bookstores and libraries and anywhere I could get a hit, because I was a bored child and I loved reading. And I was obsessed with the book series. So I would say for 2 or 3 years, loving Babysitter's Club was my entire personality. I didn't have anything else going on. So
welcome to the last 2 or 3 years of mine and Jack's lives.
Yeah, that was kind of it. It spoke to me on so many different levels. They were cool and different, and I have and still have a very entrepreneurial spirit. I let's make it work, let's band together. I'm like a startup person without a startup, kind of, but I'm get in there and be disruptive. And I feel there's something about the Babysitter's Club, the fact that they were young, also me, very young, but women that girls that felt like we could do it. We could pull it off if we mustered enough energy. I don't know. There's something about that always just felt really cool. I felt like it was speaking to me,
Yeah.
I loved it.
So you, I take it then you do and always have identified as a Christie then?
I have always identified as a Christie. I think that we're going to go there. I'm absolutely Christie. I like taking charge. I like all that stuff. I also, though, was at the time very boy crazy. So there's a little bit of Stacey in there.
Okay.
I was also obsessed with New York and I did always like fashion-y stuff. So there is a Stacey element. But generally, I say Christie with a Stacey rising, which maybe I'm flattering myself.
That's cool.
That's a good combo.
Yeah, I feel like it's pretty accurate. But I also, as of later in my life, kind of had the stonery vibe, which I don't know who that is. So I guess
Claudia,
maybe,
if anyone.
Yeah.
Be black.
Yeah. there's also a world where maybe a Dawn later in life. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Tanner and I have kind of turned on Dawn a little bit, if that's okay
really?
To say.
From the books or for the show?
Well, we read all the books, and then we read all the California Diaries, which is Dawn's like spinoff series.
Oh, you don't have to catch me up in any way on this podcast, guys.
That is so good to know.
And like those are good books, and we like them, but like Dawn is pretty tepid in all of them.
I tend to agree to an extent, and I feel like what we tried to do on the show is be like, okay, what do we know about Dawn? We know California, really kind of go from there. And I also feel like one of the things that everyone remembers is she loves Sprouts. And I was like, okay, what else, you know? I will say that the version that we have in the show and Sochi, the actress who plays it, like has made me like kind of fall in love with Dawn in a major way.
Yeah, this is technically a part of the episode for the Netflix episode 104, which is where we first meet Dawn.
Yeah.
And it was exciting. It was exciting to finally get to know Dawn.
Did you feel like you saw her coming when Marianne was sitting there at the lunch table by herself? Were you like, I smell Dawn afoot, or was it a surprise?
I smell someone wearing like natural deodorant, you know?
That age is right when you start wearing deodorant, right? 13, that's where it starts kicking. BO starts kicking at 13.
I wish someone had told me that when I was 13, but... Oh, Jack's taking a big swig.
What are you drinking? Coke?
Box wine. Is that okay?
Oh, good for you. Well, I love that.
It's 8 o'clock here. I just put my child to bed.
Oh, you guys are still in New York.
I'm in Austin.
Jack's
Texas.
In Austin. I'm in New York.
Oh. Sorry, too late.
That's okay.
No, that's all right.
So last week we had Rachel on the show.
Good.
Rachel Schuchert, the Hand
my
of God.
Sweetie.
And she agreed, I think pretty explicitly, Jack, and you can
Yeah, we don't have all the legal documents signed yet, but it's as far as I'm concerned, it's as good as a done deal.
Yeah. She confirmed that she was going to get us parts on season 2 on the show.
That's exciting.
So we pitched her some parts. Jack's going to do mocap. He's going to play Boo Boo the cat, Watson's cat.
Oh, yes, great.
I was thinking I'd play Pete Black.
Great. I've been waiting for Pete Black to show up. I kind of feel like there were some extras and the Halloween hop where I'm like, are you Pete Black? Like in my head, I'm already kind of casting like who are you? But I love that you know.
Look no further.
Yeah. Why do they bother?
You found your guys.
And you're going to have to write some scenes if you do an episode with us in it where Pete Black and Boo Boo kind of hang out.
Oh, yeah. Wrestle around. Yeah. That's great.
They're like best friends all of a sudden for some reason.
You know, what Anne always wanted, I think. You say it.
Maybe it could be like a Rosencrantz and Guildenstern kind of thing.
Yeah.
where Pete Black and Boo Boo the cat kind of become best friends and they have like a whole side story and we like write that into maybe like a short film.
I think that's what I would refer to as a Netflix exclusive.
Okay. This is good. I'm glad you have the terminology. Yeah.
And the connections.
I actually have no idea.
So you're a director. I thought maybe you could help us, since Rachel has all but assured us that we will be having parts on season 2. I thought maybe you could help us kind of craft our raw talent into something that's kind of screen worthy.
Hmm.
Yeah, we've never acted before. Is that going to be a problem?
No.
Okay.
I think that is a huge advantage. I think that your knowledge of the source material will guide you. And I think you have nothing to worry about. I think you know your motivation, and that's more than I can say for a lot of actors.
Yeah, Boo Boo is overweight and cantankerous.
Yeah. Oh God, and I know.
Nobody loves him except Watson. It seems.
I know. I feel like Watson, but Watson has changed. I feel like Watson in the series is a different Watson that was portrayed in the books, and therefore, to me, how is Boo Boo not? Therefore a little different as well. I mean, right? I mean, and that's up to you. I mean, that's Jackson. You get to kind of go with like, okay, well, why is Boo Boo? And I think that's actually where you start the journey.
Okay. That's good. That's a really good question. It's something that Anne never, for all her talent, she never asked.
You know, there's only so much paper out there. You got to, sometimes it's got to be subtext.
We've prepared monologues. I hope that's okay.
Yeah.
And we'll just go through them. I told Jack to prepare a monologue, and he
I didn't know what that was, so I did what's a dialogue. I hope that's okay.
That's really good.
Okay.
So I'm going to help Jack with his dialogue, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you ready, Jack? Do you have your dialogue ready?
I have it ready. I texted it to you, so you've got your part.
Yeah, which part am I playing?
I want you to play Allie.
Allie, okay.
And I'll be Noah.
Okay.
So we can do me first, and then we can have your monologue from, is it Street Fighter?
Mine is from Taken.
Okay, cool.
All right, boys, hit me.
10 out of 10 on Room Raider, by the way, Lucia. I like your room. It looks good.
Oh,
it
my
looks,
house?
It's a cool Zoom room. The Zoom room framing is nice.
You've oh, good.
Nice bookshelves.
Great, thank you. I don't do self-view, so I didn't see what was going on, but now I'm looking in. You're right, good job.
Mine is just like baffling, so it's not. It's
well, yours looks like a professional like setup. You both have like I'm like I feel like this is legit.
That's good. That's the illusion. Okay, so what have we done, Tanner? We've prepared
you've prepared a dialogue. I've prepared a monologue, and just like feel free to jump in.
Okay.
Give us notes, okay. Direct us. You sure. know, do what you do best. I'm sorry we don't have like a palanquin that you can write in. To direct us down from, but
I think I can make it work.
Okay.
Should we do mine, Tanner?
Yeah, let's do yours.
The dialogue. It's from a film.
You know, it's a dialogue. Maybe we can just
launch into
maybe
it.
We can both get this. Can be both of our auditions.
Okay,
we're kind of a package deal too. So
yeah, like. Penn and Teller situation.
Yeah. Perfect. That's a perfect. We love those guys. They're so nice.
So you always want out of your comedic mind. Nice. All right.
I haven't seen this film, but it's an iconic scene. So I guess
you've Tanner, never seen just... Taken.
No. This is my one.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's not Taken.
Okay.
Let's hear it. Let's go. You go.
Oh, Tanner. I start. Yeah. Do you think in another life I could have been a bird?
What do you mean?
Can I stop you there?
No, that's Jack? Not for you.
The energies, the energies, you're coming at me with an energy that I don't know how to respond to.
Okay.
Wow.
And sorry, I'm sorry to hop in. I'm sorry to jump in. I know it's not really my spot, but.
Okay. No, I mean, okay. I'll try it again.
I'll try another take at it. Yep.
Do you think in another life I could have been a bird?
What do you mean?
Like reincarnation?
I don't know.
I think I could. Say I'm a bird.
No. I won't do it.
Say I'm a bird.
Stop it. Stop it now.
Say it.
You're a bird.
Now say you're a bird too.
Well, I guess we're both birds now.
That's not.
I did change the line.
It's fine. I think sometimes.
I don't think there's a lot of room in the script for improv.
Well, I have some. First, I just have some follow up questions. Not so much answer direction. What is the relationship?
Oh wait, you have to kind of get out of character. One sec. Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
See.
Great. Thank you. What is the relationship between these two people having this conversation?
I think one of them is a bird.
Mm.
Yes, I believe Allie is a bird.
The Tanner character is a bird.
Yes.
And he's trying to persuade my character to become one.
Neither of us have seen the film. It's based on this. So this is a dialogue from the film The Notebook.
Wow. Okay. I didn't recognize it. I guess I've seen the movie. I also sounds like maybe I haven't.
You didn't see it the right way. Like the way it should be performed.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Okay, I think it was great. I think you guys did good.
Okay, that's what I want to hear.
I think you were good.
So no notes.
No, though I do think, if this is anything moving forward for the next scene, whichever scene that is, if it's a dialogue, I think if you don't feel that there's room for improv, which I'm not sure I agree with, I think there's some room there to play.
Thank
think
you.
Maybe that it's worth making the words your own, you know, not being word perfect. And I think that in and of itself can be sometimes or make it feel more authentic. So I would just say, don't feel, if you're not willing to fully improvise, at least make it your own. And I feel you did, but to continue to lean into that.
Yeah, the actual line read was, if you're a bird, I'm a bird, which just seems kind of weak.
Yeah, it also seems like a bitch-ass move. Like, okay, if you're a bird, I'm a bird. Like, what is that? Like,
that's nothing.
That's nothing. So, yeah. You're right. You're right that needed a punch-up. So I think it was great.
Okay.
I think it was good.
Great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Tanner, I hope you do as well as I did.
Oh, I have to do mine now, too?
Well, you don't have to. We can talk about
something
else.
I did so much work on yours. I feel like that audition spoke for itself.
Well, it's up to you. Well, it's up to Lucia, actually. Do you want to hear Tanner's read?
He did. I would. I think I'd like to. Yeah.
Okay, taken. So I'm going to be.
Wait,
I'm auditioning.
Did you just Google it now? That is not off book. That is not off book. Googling it while you're doing it is not off book. That is not going to. It's going to be tough to come back from this, Tanner.
I'm auditioning for the part of Mr. Spear, Richard Spear. I know the part is currently cast by
the man from the
Kevin
Good Place.
From Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Marshallman Jackson,
Yes. But in season two, or like later on in the book series, we discover that Marianne was taken from Richard Spear by
her grandparents.
Her grandparents, after the death of her mother, Alma. Mm. So I will be performing his dramatic monologue from that book. I don't have a lot of money, but what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I have acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you don't let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it.
It's okay. Just take it from the top.
If you let my daughter go now, that will be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you, and I will kill you.
Wow. Can I say wow? That was amazing.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Chills.
I couldn't even see your eyes moving when I read. Something else, man. Good for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I was like, I better not take this daughter.
So we don't have to audition now?
That's what you call a straight offer.
Okay, good. This is
that's all I work for, straight offer.
Yeah.
I let the projects come to me. So that's great, and we'll follow up with Rachel and confirm with her
that you also have. Great.
And just so we have that feedback.
You guys know. You guys know where we shoot.
We've been wondering about that.
Yeah, we were wondering about that because Ann Martin, in her wisdom, has never revealed where Stony Brook, Connecticut, actually is.
Well, yes, right.
But you know.
But it sounds like you're about to.
No. I actually meant, do you know where we actually shoot?
Stony Brook, Connecticut?
Where we shot the series.
It wasn't in Stony Brook, Connecticut?
It was in Vancouver.
Oh,
interesting. Okay. Well, Vancouver's nice.
So that's a head fake by Anne.
Yeah.
Stony Brook is in Vancouver.
Yeah. But yeah, we shot in Vancouver. So when you guys come and shoot, you gotta go through customs, is my point.
Jack, this is a problem.
You're not actually even allowed in Canada.
Is that true?
I have massive problems at the Canadian border.
Why?
It's a long story.
He challenged authority. He went through the Canadian border once, and he challenged authority in a stupid adolescent way.
Wow.
And now he's barred from Canada forever.
Here's what I say to Canadian Border Patrol when I do try to go to Canada, and I've got it memorized, is I once attempted to go through the border, but I had no fixed itinerary, so they turned me back.
Okay. What does that
but
mean?
They always question me.
But what happened?
I had a lot of weird stuff in my car, and I bungled my
name. Oh.
Your name is so basic. You've got like the most basic name in the world. Jack Shepherd.
It was, to be clear, it was like we had driven straight from my friend's art show in New York, and we were like, let's go to Montreal.
Yeah.
And like And so we had like a ton of like desktop computers in the trunk. It was a mess.
I'm even suspicious of this story.
Yeah. I just met you.
But it sounds like, so we're not going to be able to shoot in Vancouver. So we're actually having Lucy from Picture Start and Naya from Walden Media on in a couple weeks. So we'll talk to them about finding a new shooting location.
You know what's nice is that Walden's legal can help with this.
Okay.
We're not necessarily on their good side.
Lucia, what was the episode that you wrote? I don't know which one you had to write.
I wrote part two of Camp Welcome to Camp Moosehead, the finale.
Ooh.
Wait, what's the title again?
With Ariel Carlin. Hello, Camp Moosehead, part two.
Oh, it's a super special. So I'm like, we're being very diligent and like only watching it in order. So we've only watched a few episodes. Yeah. So that's exciting to hear. It's a super special.
I wrote it with Ariel Carlin, who is a very, very great writer, who I love.
The episodes so far have been really funny.
Thank you.
Yeah, I feel like that's great. Something that's like missed in when people talk about these books. Is so pretty funny.
Yeah.
Is that something you're able to push with your background in comedy and improv?
Yeah. I mean, that was always like part of it, the show, like when we pitched the show, Rachel and I, like, was like, we really wanted to make something that was kind of comedy forward, because I think especially for younger girls, like there isn't a lot of stuff that caters to their interests in that way and caters to like what they think is funny, like for them, by them, kind of like, and in a weird way, I feel like that's to me, like the ultimate speaking to a certain kind of young girl is being like, this is funny for you. And I think at least for me at that age, I feel like it would have made me feel kind of like seen in a weird way, because that was something I was always really interested in. Like the other thing I would do other than reading Babysitter's Club books at that age is I would also like sneak into the area that had Mad magazines and like read the, and like do the like fold in things and like read those. And it was like a little like perverted comedy thing, you know? And like, that's the stuff that I don't know. And I feel like by saying like, oh, this is really like funny. I don't know. I just felt like that there was such a dearth of that. So that was kind of like why part of the show was like comedy forward, and definitely on set, like being able to add new lines here and there, and like also just being able to direct performances to make sure that that stuff was landing, was always like definitely part of the DNA from the beginning, for sure.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. That like that we watched the old Babysitter's Club show. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
which
it's fun, but it's totally fun, and the theme song is To Die For.
It is.
But it doesn't quite have what you're saying, which is just like being like comedy forward, I guess.
Yeah.
To say it. It's like these shows are like, I would recommend like the Netflix show to anyone just because it's like it's fun and funny as well as being heartfelt and like all the things that you think about in relation to the BSC is being like, oh, it's cool because it's earnest and it's the relationships of these girls. But it's also like a lot of good one-liners and like, like comedic acting. And like,
and we also had a lot of performers that are really funny people, like comedic performers outside of just the main girls. And I think that also helped make it feel like, oh, this whole world is funny. And like everybody can like kind of stretch that muscle a bit and feel free to, you know, it's fun.
The girls are very good at though, at delivering these.
Oh, they're great.
Lines.
They're so good and so funny. And like they all have different ways that they're kind of funny too, which I really like. Like there's something about like Sophie, who plays Christy, her like self-assuredness that is so funny. Like her delivering the line, like, I'm bossy, get used to it, in a way that I'm like, is she 60 years old or is she 13? I'm like, yes. And then Malia, who plays Marianne, is so funny physically. Like, and like she does stuff and says stuff in the deliveries of her lines. Sometimes I feel like she's like in the Brady Bunch movie. You know, where I'm like, this is like the level of comedy of like a fucking genius. I'm like, this is crazy. And Mamona is also like, you know, the line where she's like, yeah, and sell the information to like the Russians. And then like does like a shrug. I mean, like, it's true. Like she just has such attitude that I'm like, oh my God. And then Shay, who plays Stacy, is also like so good at being like, I don't know. I feel like she's so good at being like this, like kind of like, sarcastic, like when she is with her mom and she's like, mom, I don't know, there's just like something about her like little teen attitude that I find so funny. And so she's like such a goof who plays Dawn and like is able to take such lines that are so like earnest and like make them like relatable and funny and like just, I don't know. I just love them all so much. It was so weird, like, spending time with them because, you know, like, when you spend so much time as a kid reading these books, you're like, that's me. This is me. And then to, like, be an adult now and spend time with them, I'm like, I'm just like you. And they're like, absolutely not. You are a full-ass adult. You are just a little younger than my parents. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm like, it's so... such a weird way to like face, like I actually dealt with my own mortality more on the set of Babysitter's Club than anywhere else in my life.
It was really jarring for us when we first started reading the books to discover that we were the
parents' like Elizabeth's
age. and not the girl's age.
It's
I
know.
Well, and like worrying about their shit, it's like a, it's just like a write off where it's like, and then Watson was having trouble at work. And then like, as a kid, you wouldn't even think about that. And I'm like, oh God, I hope he's okay.
Does
he have a deadline or a crisis?
Did Rachel tell you about Watson's job? Did you guys get into that?
No, we didn't.
Well, so that character is now a little bit based on Rachel's actual dad, who is, I think, like kind of like an urban city planner. And we feel like that's why he's like riding a bike, if he like believes in the power of bike.
And I like, love that he's riding a bike to work. I noticed that. It was so awesome.
And I think Rachel's dad does that too. But I think the idea is kind of like, it's like the kind of job that you're like, okay, this guy comes from old money and he like wants to like make the community better. And so he's like, bike. Or whatever, but like he's like really into like making the community like a more egalitarian place. I don't know. I just think that was like I love Watson. I also because I flipped through your first episode about Christy's Big Idea, and and it sounded like you guys were really giving Watson a lot of credit for the club. And I gotta say, I disagree.
Someone certainly is giving Watson a lot of credit for the club. Like I would say the writers of the show.
What are you talking about? Literally, the dudes are the only thing. The Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Stacey's idea. And
I think we just really like Watson and Mark Forreston.
Oh, my God. Mark Forreston's amazing.
Oh, Tanner, you caved in 1 second. You were challenged on your bullshit for 1 second, and you caved.
The dudes, I'll give you all that, sure. But wait, you should have Mark on the show, because Mark is... he already knows so much trivia, because his daughter's loved the books, and so he already knew. He came in being like, oh, I know what's up, and it was amazing. He's the best. I love him.
That's awesome. We're talking to him about coming on the show, so yeah. Now I think what we'll do is we're just gonna quiz him on Babysitter's Club trivia.
Yeah, should.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Sure.
Yeah, really thank you fun. For being on.
Yeah, I hope that you really feel that my Christy and Stacey power on this episode.
Yeah, totally. And we're looking forward to working with you, obviously.
Oh, of course.
We'll see you in Vancouver
when we film season two.
Let me know how the whole border thing works. That I'm gonna be a little bit emotionally invested in that.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's, let me know if I could write
it's
a letter.
Kind of a heart and throat moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be useful.
It could.
I have to bring a binder of stuff that's like, yeah, here's the hotel I'm staying in. Like,
you have to do that. You have to get a full on work visa to go. So actually, you have to spend almost an entire day waiting to be like admitted, even if you don't have any issues. So it's going to be intense for you.
Okay,
sorry.
Wow.
Just give me the heads up. It's better to know now.
We'll start working on it.
All right. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bye. Bye-bye.
Now we're back.
Yes. And welcome back.
Me. We're just going to say goodbye. I can kind of take the reins on this if it's still
confusing
for you.
Please, I'm still... I thought we were introducing Lucia.
No, we're back from break. Everyone heard the interview we did. It went really well. What I'd like to say to you, Tanner, is just thank you for bearing with me.
You're welcome.
I would like to say to the Baby Nation, thank you for bearing with us. I would like to say, even though she is not here, to Lucia and Yellow, thank you for being a good sport and coming on our show. We had a really nice chat with you. It was very nice to talk to you. Thank
She's
you.
Not here?
She was, but not anymore.
I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to wrap my head around this.
Thank you for directing the Good Babysitters Club.
Yes, thank
Netflix.
You. Thank you for directing it. Thank you for making it happen. We're really enjoying it. Thank you, Lucia.
And
we're looking forward to being on season two.
Yeah, we both look forward to being on season two. In the meantime, I would like to remind everyone that they can and should and must support our show by subscribing to our Patreon, patreon.com/BSCCpodcast. We have a whole other show every week. We talk about the Little Sister books. We sing the descriptions. It's a lot of fun. Everybody likes it, and it's a great way to support our work and keep us doing what we are doing. Please also do buy our merch, bit.ly/BSCCmerch. We've got t-shirts, we've got totes, we've got stickers, we've got all sorts of good stuff over there. It's another good way to support our show, and we're probably going to have new merch soon.
Jack, I have to go.
Yeah. What I would like to say in that case is that this week we read a video novel called Babysitter's Club Netflix show, season one, episode four, Marianne
I watched
Saves
it.
The Day.
Unless you mean read by, like, close read. Like, I did do a close read.
Next week, we're going to be perusing and rifling through the pages of a video novel called Babysitter's Club Netflix show, season one, episode five, Dawn and the Impossible Three. Oh, that sounds religious. Doesn't it? Like the Holy Trinity? Doesn't it? Doesn't it? Doesn't it? Doesn't it? Doesn't
it?
Yes. In the meantime, I would like to tell you that this week my name has been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
Please do remember to round off the corners in your bedroom, drown all your dolls, call your senator and demand your right to bear time, and do not forget to let daddy love you as much as I do. Remember the Delaney's, remember the trip, man. Take your dream horse through that maze. Claudia is wearing a bra now, and the way she talks, you would think that boys had just been...
I worked my tiny hiney off all day.
You don't have a tiny hiney.
I worked my
big bad booty.
Big bad booty off all day.
That's the ticket. Build yourself up. Don't knock yourself down.
I worked my big bad booty to the big bad bone. you know, just figuring stuff out, social media, management platforms.
Cool. What a cool
KPIs.
Guy. You've really become a lot more impressive than me.
My
pupil has become the master.
Sign is ascending.
Yeah, exactly.
And yours is in
just
retrograde.
Just as mine is in retrograde. It's not going to be long before I fall down to your level and then you pass me.
But you know what? That's what? The way it always goes, Jack.
That's always the way it goes, yeah.
You're on the other side of the wheel of fortune.
Yep.
As Boethius is saying, we meet, we lock eyes now.
Yeah.
As the wheel rotates.
As the wheel turns, yeah.
In such a way that I'm going up and you're going down, but it will be a matter of time before... We find ourselves here again, Jack. Yep.
And you're going to be going down as my bloodied remains kind of ascend back to the top. Yeah,
bloated corpse comes back up to the top.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.